Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience, because Purple mattresses are made with a GelFlex grid. The GelFlex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips, and support in others, like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the GelFlex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect Purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
In life, some days are good and some could be better. The same is true for recovery. Both take work. Both take adjustments. Finding your path is a key part of your journey, and then it's all about walking it every day. Embrace the good days, the not so good days, and the challenges, and acknowledge how you overcame them. Be open to every part of the journey and welcome it. It's unique, and it's all part of you. Find the path to recovery that works for you. Learn more at cdc.gov/stopoverdose.
Nerds. Today's episode is sponsored by NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast. Ready to expand your financial game? NerdWallet can coach you on smart strategies like choosing investments, finding your next credit card, and setting a budget that works for you. Score major points towards your summer vacation by learning expert tips for choosing a high-yield savings account and how to build wealth by investing in index funds. Slide into summer with smarter decisions in 2024. Follow NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast on your favorite podcast app. Future you will thank you.
Still rocking and rolling here on this Friday night edition of Overtime. It's the Youngest in Charge Movement, Linnell Willingham. I'll take you up to 10 o'clock before we hand things over to Bart Winkler in the Infinity Sports Network. Number to call the show, 1-800-636-1067 is the number on the MGM National Harbor Lister lines. You can tweet at me as well. It is at NELL_BTP. Talking all things Commanders offense right now, as they get geared up for a massive, massive Monday night game on the road against Cincinnati, a desperate, desperate Bengals team looking to avoid that treacherous 0-3 start. We know the numbers relative to punching your ticket to the playoffs. If you start 0-3, so Washington gonna have to match that energy of the Bengals coming up Monday night. One way they can do that, if the offense continues to play as well as they've played the start this year. Washington has been one of the top offenses in the National Football League through the first 2 weeks. Now, points per game-wise, right, probably isn't going to move the needle for you. Not good enough in that category. They got to do a better job finishing off drives. But Washington, and I just found this number out, stunned the hell out of me. Washington has run the third most plays in the red zone out of any team in the National Football League. The Commanders have run the third most plays in the red zone out of every team in the entire National Football League. So when we hear ignorant commentary from Cam Taylor-Britt calling Cliff Kingsbury's offense a college offense that doesn't ask the quarterback to do much, kiss my keister. Point blank, their offense has been explosive. Their offense has been physical. The explosive plays are lacking. I'll be real with that. Let me chill. But you get what I'm saying, though. The way that they've moved it in between the 20s, they should give you all the confidence in the world that this group is ready to go. Uptown Don, I don't know if you got it ready. Mina Kimes and Benjamin Solak of ESPN joining in on the national party of dunking on this Commander's offense.
What would you do differently watching this offense? Like, what do you want to see more of from the Commander's offense?
You watched Jaden in college just beat teams, throwing nine balls and scrambling. The guy's a beautiful deep arm and he can break 19 angles because he's so fast. The fact that the Commanders have not yet found a way to go three-step, land on the back foot, and get a one-on-one to Terry is astonishing. I don't understand where else explosives are going to come from besides the fact that Jaden can really drop the ball in a bucket. And if there's something that De'Ami Brown does really well, it's winning outside of the numbers. Being able to track that vertical ball and go bring it down up against the sideline. The first thing that I would want to be able to do is I'd want to be able to go like four wide. I'd want to be able to go empty by formation control by routes to safety so I can throw one-on-ones and feel like that's going to help me get actually big gains down the field. Running game-wise, I wouldn't change too much. But the fact that you're passing game right now.
So tight.
So tight. It's the exact correct thing. It's just, you are playing in such condensed spaces with a wide receiver room that is theoretically about space.
2.33 second time to throw, 4.7 air yards per target, zero completions over 20 yards.
In some instances, it is a myth in that you have to be high time to throw in order to be high ADOT. The one way to do it is just gun, three-step, nine ball. It's the only way.
I've never seen Jaden. Oh, wait, I've seen him do it a million times.
Mina Kimes, it's Ben Solak. Given their truth to the Commanders' offense, I always say it's interesting to hear national perspective. They kind of parachute in every now and then and give their two cents on a group that they don't follow and cover on a day-to-day basis. Mina Kimes, Ben Solak, two smart people, sound dumb as hell. I mean, sound absolutely ridiculous. I could care less that Jaden Daniels doesn't have a completion over 20 yards. Who gives a damn? What's the point of the game, people? The point of the game is picking up first downs, trying to score. I don't care how you do it. The Commanders had the third most red zone attempts in the National Football League this year. What does that mean? That they're moving the football at nauseam, the way that they want. They're controlling the game. They're not letting defenses dictate what they do. Well, they are, rather. There's no problem with that. But the game in the pass game is going to continue to evolve as the season goes on. I get it. Yeah, you can drop back and throw a 9 to Terry, and then it's incomplete. Now you're in 2nd and 10. But they've done tremendously well. It's staying ahead of the chains. They have. Now, the one thing I think Washington can be dinged for offensively is the lack of motion. Washington's run 61 plays with motion. That's 26th in the NFL. Got to be better. Look at the offenses that you're in company with. Cleveland, blech. New York, blech. Jacksonville, Denver, terrible. Indy, god-awful. Right? So that's an area where they can improve and maybe get Terry the football more, add some more motion. But, like, I'm not going to sit here and act as if the sky is falling offensively. It's not. They're actually trending in the right direction. They're a badass unit offensively, and I say that in a good way. They're physical. They can run the ball. The other stuff's going to open itself up. But at the end of the day, I could care less about Cam Taylor Britt and what he thinks about this offense. Point blank. 1-800-636-1067 is the number on the MGM National Harbor Lister lines. Are you concerned about the Commanders' lack of downfield passing attack through 2 weeks? And are you concerned about Terry's lack of involvement? Reggie, out in D.C. What's going on, Reggie?
What's going on, man? Love the show, man.
Appreciate it.
Those of us that are football fans, if you throw 5-9 routes, how many going to get completed? One? Maybe two? Like, come on, man. Like, when I heard the previous clip you said, it makes me want to pull my hair out. I heard a stat. They said that Jaden Daniels has led 15 total drives. 12 of them were scoring opportunities.
Yep.
The guy in Tampa missed two field goals. Last week, now, what I would say last week is, I wish I would have saw at least an opportunity without a penalty. I think outside of the last drive, every drive that we had in the red zone, there was a false start.
Yep.
Like it was a false start.
Six.
Every last one.
I think they were 0 for 6 in the red zone. All six of those had pre-snap penalties.
Yes. Again, if you think, and I know you're a football fan, so I know you're watching Caleb, because I, you know, you hear them talking about all
for
the
sure
comparisons. And then you see Bo Nix. When you look at Caleb, and the thing I'm going to give Kingsbury his props, it's the scheme.
Exactly.
They're talking about, like, Caleb under center. He never was under center
exactly
at USC. and the struggles. And then they look at Jaden. Jaden probably has maybe 85% in shotgun and pistol. And then we got an excellent running game. Yep. I think it's right now. It is beautiful because you're taking. Do people understand this is his second NFL game? He's coming up on his third. Like, you don't, like, and think about it. Like, they were talking about, you know, everybody do the comparison with C.J. Stroud. They was 0-2 last year. Then he started to take
and
the, off.
And not only were they 0-2, Reggie, because I think I'm going to draw that comparison coming up. Not only were they 0-2, they got their ass whipped in week one by Baltimore. They weren't competitive, similarly to Washington against Tampa.
Yeah. So, again, I love all the points that you're pointing out. Again, this is a – the Terry's, it's going to come. It's going to come. But, again, I don't – and you said this, I mean, again, from the 20 to the 20. I didn't even know when you mentioned that, like, we have the most red zone plays. I mean, if you think about it, if you said, okay, well, listen, what do you want Jaden to look like? Like, if you had to kind of write it down and after two games, what would you be satisfied with? As a Commanders fan, there is no way that you can say you wouldn't be satisfied with what you're seeing right now. He's protecting the ball. We're moving it. There's opportunity for growth. But you have to be like – you have to be even more excited now than when you was when we first drafted him. Hey, look, love the show, man. Keep up the great work.
Appreciate you, Reg. 1-800-636-1067 is the number. I think Reg makes a good point. If I would have told you back in August, start of training camp, that through 2 weeks – the Commanders would have run the third most red zone plays in the NFL. You just said, damn, this offense has got the goods. This offense is doing what it needs to do. Instead, the perception, the narrative is that something's wrong. I can't with y'all. You can't win for losing. This narrative that Washington is struggling offensively, it's exaggerated. It's poppycock. It's ludicrous. I call poppycock, 100%. The red zone numbers speak for themselves. The running numbers speak for themselves. Now, I'm going to bore you all with the EPA numbers. EPA is an advanced analytic that pretty much determines how successful you are in whatever category. Your total success. There's passing EPA, there's running EPA. Washington third in the NFL in rush EPA. Love that. Love that. Washington third in the NFL in rushing yards over expectation. Love that. Love that. And the amazing part about it is Washington is doing this against two fronts that are really damn good at stopping the run. Think about what Washington had to deal with in week one. Vita Vea, Kalijah Kansi, Chris Braswell, Joe Tryon Shrelinka, Lavonte David. One of the best front sevens in football. Last weekend, the Giants suck. You will never hear me come out of my mouth and say that that's a good football team. But if they do have a strength, Dexter Lawrence is the best interior defender in the NFL today. Point blank. You pair that with Kayvon Thibodeau and Brian Burns. The fact that you ran the ball right into the teeth of that defense 35 times for 6.1 yards a pop, and you all are bitching and moaning about the ball not traveling down the field, shame on you. Shame on you. You all always find something to complain about. There's always something that's not good enough. Enjoy the ride. This is an offense that, in my opinion, is very clearly on an upward trajectory. Super Dave out of Largo, what's going on?
Yo, the youngest in charge. What up, though?
What's going on, brother?
Nothing much, man. Hey, real quick, I honestly, you know, can say there is nothing to be concerned about with this offense. I mean, it is, you know, we can't say it is a dink and dunk offense, but it's okay. You stated earlier that Cliff Kingsbury is surrounding the offense to protect Jaden Daniels. If we are concerned, we need to be concerned with Jaden Daniels trying to protect himself.
Hmm.
I noticed
I hear that.
In the Yeah, yeah. I noticed in the offense, I watched the game again, and your boy is missing a lot of reads. He's missing a lot of reads. You know what I'm saying? No, those are those nine routes, because like somebody said, Noah Brown was open earlier. I seen some Turries kind of open. He missed them, and that's when he got the scrambling. My question is, when the guy scrambled, we know he can't slide. But, bro, when you're outside of the pocket, are they not teaching him you can throw the ball away? He don't know that you can throw the ball away? Like, I'm not understanding why he's not protecting himself. And further notice, I want to say in this offense, I do want to tell you that me and you had a nice call some weeks ago. It was this is where it comes into play about me. I think we need a number two receiver, Linnell. Real talk. I mean, we talked about the Brandon Ayuk. We know he not coming, but getting a number two receiver here will definitely help the offense, will help Terry. To piggyback, I know I kind of told you, you had a lot of faith and Zach Ertz, and saying that Zach Ertz was going to be a main guy in this offense. Not a main guy, but he's going to be able to produce in this offense. And, bro, I doubted you tremendously because I'm like, come on, man. You counting on Zach Ertz get 700-800 yards this season? I'm like, bro, he's old, 12 years in the game. He's older. He's not going to be able to contribute like that. Man, I stand corrected. Zach Ertz has definitely been an outlet in this offense. That one catch, man, strong hands, he looked good. So I think there's hope for our offense. I feel like we're better this time this year than we were last year. 100%. We're way better this year than we were last year. It's this first year as a rookie. I like the man. Cliffs is calling hell of a plays. I like that first drive, 9-10-minute drives. But I want you to tell you real quick, bro. You screaming out numbers with this red zone, dog. That's not nothing to be excited about, getting down there going 0-for-6, man. Yeah, we are moving the ball for and sure. Getting in between the 20s. But, bro, we got to finish, dog. We got to finish. You know what I'm saying? So if they can get in that red zone and take advantage of those opportunities, because you're not going to be able to get 3 points every time and think you're going to beat these teams. We just beat the Giants, bro. Yeah. You're not going to do that. We're not going to do that against Cincinnati. So I just want to say, let's get in that red zone. Let's finish. Don't worry. The offense is looking good. The offense is what's going to carry us this year, not the defense. It's going to be the offense that's going to carry us this year. Once they get in groove and get in the zone, we're going to be all right. Hey, Linnell, you the youngest in charge, bro. I stand corrected. I love what you're talking. Keep doing your due. I salute you, youngin. Thank you for taking my call.
1-800-636-1067 is the number. Dave makes a good point. They cannot continue to get inside of the 20 and not come up with 6 points. That, to me, is going to end up being the determining factor of how good you are. Are you going to be a mediocre, average offense? Or are you going to be great? See, I happen to think this is why I say 8, 9, 10 wins is possible. I think offensively, they can be one of the best groups in the league. If they're going to run the football the way that they are, that opens up your play action. That makes it easier for Jaden. Establishing your offensive identity, to me, was the first thing. Now it's about fine-tuning things. 0-for-6 in the red zone, all six of those drives, you have drive-killing penalties. That stuff can't happen. That stuff can't happen. More on Washington's red zone numbers here. I would say this about what they've done in the red zone. See, yeah, it's good that they're, what, third in the NFL in total red zone plays. But look at the run-pass split. 8 passes, 19 runs. I don't mind that split, and it's normally going to be more runs in the red zone, but more balance in the red zone, I think, would help this group out tremendously as well. Juice is out in Gaithersburg. What's going on?
What's going on, Linnell? Hey, look, there's a lot of good points you're talking about I want to touch on. I know I'm trying. You got other callers you want to get to. I'm trying to be quick.
Oh, you're good. Go ahead.
I think what the problem is that people talk a lot about Jaden's high football IQ. He's a Heisman Trophy winner and his work ethic. And then also, too, where people of recency bias keep trying to compare back to C.J. Stroud. He's still a rookie trying to adjust to the NFL.
For
and
sure.
He's doing a great job of doing that. Now, if you watch him, he doesn't look confused. He doesn't look rattled. Game 1 against Tampa Bay, we got in the end zone. If maybe if we had Seabird, making those field goals that Kay George missed, maybe it would have been a different outcome or a different storyline with that game. Who knows? At the end of the day, we're moving the ball. We're getting down there. He's taking what the defense is giving him, and that's what's most important. It's only week two, and it's going to take time. We all got to relax and chill. Think about it, with, and also, too, on Terry McLaurin. Think about last year. He had a game where he had zero touches, zero catches, zero receptions, but he still came up with 1,000-yard receiver for that year. It's going to take time. It's only week two. Everybody's got to relax and let this man develop. We're going to hit those deep shots eventually. I'm banking on it. We probably get a touchdown pass from Jaden this game coming up. I'm actually excited. And I have hope that maybe we'll put – yeah. So, you know, that's all I got for you, my man.
Juice, I appreciate you as always, man. Look, you all should be excited about what's going on with this group. Offensively, like, they're on the cusp of breaking out. Seriously, in reality, right? You should have scored 35-plus points this past weekend. Week one, you should have scored 26 points if Cade York can make a damn field goal. The offense, by far, to me, is the strength of this football team. The big question as we get closer to Monday night, can we start playing complementary football? Can you get help from your special teams and your defense? That's the big question. That will determine whether you're a 5-6 win team or 8-9-10 win football team. First guest of the program coming up here momentarily on the other side of the break, our pal Ryan Fowler, who covers the NFL for Bleacher Report as well as the Pro Football Network, set to join us next. We'll get his thoughts on the Washington Commanders offense and what they need to do to come up with a big-time win Monday night against Cincinnati. That's next here on The Fan.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience because Purple mattresses are made with a GelFlex grid. The GelFlex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips and support in others like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the GelFlex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex Grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off. When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof like Aloe, Allbirds, or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling and for shoppers buying simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet and the not so secret secret with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whenever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout experience as business powerhouses like Aloe, Allbirds, and Skims. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to Shopify.com/Odyssey Podcast to upgrade your selling today. Shopify.com/Odyssey Podcast.
In life and recovery, every day is a little different. Embrace the good days, the not so good days, and the challenges, and acknowledge how you overcame them. Find the path to recovery that works for you. Learn more at cdc.gov/stopoverdose.
Nerds. Today's episode is sponsored by NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast. Get your head in the financial game with smart investing and budgeting tips straight from the nerds. NerdWallet's experts will set future you up for success with dependable, fact-based insights. No financial misinformation allowed. Learn how to save on your summer vacation, find your next credit card or loan for a big purchase, and invest in your next index fund. Make smarter decisions in 2024. Follow NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast on your favorite podcast app.
you sit in traffic now. But later, there's an ice-cold reward. Modelo, the mark of a fighter. You've earned this rich golden lager with a crisp, refreshing taste. Because you know, all your patience is paid out in gold. You remain calm through honks, bumper to bumper, and people yelling.
Come on, move!
You are a fighter, and Modelo is your reward. Modelo, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
1-800-636-1067 is the number on the MGM National Harbor Lister lines. You can tweet at me as well. It's at NELL_BTP. Youngest in Charge Movement, Linnell Willingham, taking you up to 10 o'clock, about an hour and change left to go with this. We get you geared up for Monday Night Football, Commanders and Bengals from Cincinnati. Been saying it all show long, massive spot for Washington going up against a Cincinnati team who is as desperate as you could possibly get, trying to avoid that treacherous, dreadful 0-3 start. You're going to get their best punch coming up on Monday night. To help us preview Bengals and Commanders, our pal Ryan Fowler, NFL and college football analyst for Bleacher Report, as well as the Draft Network, joining us right now on the BetQL guest hotline. Ryan, as Washington and Cincinnati get geared up for Monday Night Football, what's the number one thing you're paying attention to heading into Monday night?
Yeah, first things first, Linnell, always appreciate you having me on, man. It's good to hear your voice.
For sure.
When I look at this Commanders roster, you know, what they did well, at least in week two, and looking at what this Bengals roster has heading into week three, to where they may be without both B.J. Hill and Sheldon Rankins, and they haven't been able to stop anybody in the ground game. Washington continues to have to feed Brian Robinson Jr. and Austin Ekeler and be unique in what they do up front in the run game. And that also involves Jaden Daniels' legs, but also that comes with keeping him healthy, of course, and not 16 times like we saw in week one.
Right.
Now, that's the biggest thing for me, is definitely getting the ground game going early in this football game, and then you're going to open up a little bit, I think, through the air. I think they're going to get some chances, not just number 17 and Terry McLaurin, but Olamide Zaccheaus, Luke McCaffrey, Deami Brown, they want to see more of. And I also want to see more of Noah Brown, you know, big kid. We know, Linnell, this Washington roster here over these last few years, even back to the days where they drafted Antonio Gandy-Golden and Kelvin Harmon, the Cam Sims experiment, trying to get a bigger body on the outside they haven't had. So, but I think first things first, looking at the game on Monday night, that harsh environment's going to be tough. You mentioned they're 0-2. They're going to be coming out with their hair on fire. Run the football and get after them a little bit within the front seven.
Yeah, that's got to be the game plan for me. I want to talk more about the running game, Ryan, because I was, you know, screaming to anyone who would listen this summer. Look, despite Washington drafting a quarterback number two overall, and despite Cliff Kingsbury coming over as your OC, who's got, for whatever reason, a pass-happy that's the way people describe his offense. If you actually go crunch the numbers in Arizona, they ran the ball with regularity. But the thought was, for most people, is that, oh, throw the ball 30, 35 times per contest. I think their sweet spot for Jaden is 23 to 27 attempts per game. And I've labeled it, man, exotic smash-mouth football. Whether it's Ekeler, whether it's Robinson, whether it's Daniels, you got to find unique different ways to run the football. When you consider the success they had in the first 2 weeks going up against those front fours, Ryan, do you think Washington running the football at the clip that they ran it at is just an anomaly, or is that what their offensive identity should be to this point?
I absolutely think it should be their identity, Linnell. And you mentioned it as far as what Cliff did in Arizona, to where everybody expect what he did in college to come in and throw the football around. Well, he ran the ball, again, with James Conner out there in Arizona. They got after people on that vertical plane. And when you look at the interior of this Commanders front five, where it's Allegretti, Biotish, and he just paid Sam Cosmi handsomely to be here for a long time moving forward, you're going to get after people north-south. And you have the bodies in the backfield to do that. And then you also have the change of pace in Jaden Daniels, to where on a zone read, he has to keep the strong side and the weak side of the formation honest, to where you can't just bite down and try to pursue if you're that unblocked guy on the edge on a Brian Robinson or Austin Ekeler. So this run game for the entirety of the year for me is where Washington's going to find their success on offense, because even when you look at Cincinnati this week, and they may line up with potentially like with old New York, to where there's just six guys in the box, or they may put seven. They may put eight and force Jaden Daniels to throw it. But they need to find their purpose early in this ball game. Really, the first two series of this football game involving Ekeler Robinson and Jaden Daniels inside the tackles and outside the tackles, and allowing these Bengals players to know, hey, maybe not every play is going to, we're going to see Brian Robinson get upwards of 9 yards a pop like he did against the Giants, which is ridiculous. But make an effort, a conceded effort, to get after them in the ground game and say, hey, look, we're not going to sling it around 40 times the rookie quarterback. We are going to make our living in the ground game, but be unique in misdirections, counters, and then flat out get after you on short yardage situations, because we have a guy in 225 pounds in Brian Robinson that can run through arm tackles as good as anybody in football.
For sure. I mean, he is amongst, I believe he's third right now in the NFL in terms of yards after contact. So clearly it's going to take more than one Bengal defender to bring him to the turf. You mentioned some of the shortcomings since he's had with their run defense. Ramondre Stevenson made him look amateur in week number one. I think B-Rob has a similar opportunity this week as another physical bruising back. I don't know if you heard the comments from Cam Taylor-Britt, Ryan. He has made a thing the last 2 weeks to give the opposing team bulletin board material. This week he came out and said that Washington's offense is very college-like and they don't make Jaden Daniels do much. When you hear those comments, Ryan, what is your initial impression?
Yeah, Cam is, he's a guy, obviously, that had that excellent interception. You know, last week everyone saw it against Patrick Mahomes down the boundary. Heck of a play for him. I think he's a good young player. But if you're this offense right now, to where, you know, there's a ton of questions as far as how they're going to spread it out. You know, 31% of their targets so far in 2 weeks have been in wide receiver screens or running back screens. So I think they're slowly going to take the training wheels off this thing. And I think we saw that a little bit in the second half of the Giants game. But if I'm Terry McLaurin, I'm Jaden Daniels, I'm Cliff Kingsbury at the end of the day, to where there's a nice mix of veterans and youth-infused talent on this roster, I want to make a point, because I think at the end of the day, Linnell, this Cincinnati Bengals roster, this franchise, Cincinnati Bengals fans, they don't look at the Commanders right now as a team that could come into their building and win on Monday Night Football. They're looking at this game and their game after this, and where they play the Carolina Panthers, who are a complete mess, to where they're just going to skip over them at the end of the day and say, we're going to get back to 2-2. So at the end of the day, I think this is a heck of an opportunity for this Commanders franchise to not only announce themselves within their division and stay atop the NFC East moving into next week, but also the entire NFL to say, look, we're not a joke this year. I know there's a lot of moving pieces, a lot of new faces, and a lot of new places, but what an opportunity, Linnell, spotlight Monday Night Football for this young roster establishing their foundation to go and improve a point this week.
I agree with you 100%. I think the spot is massive. You mentioned for Cincy, I didn't realize that they had Carolina coming up next. You damn Skippy. That's probably how they're looking at this. Oh, first tough first 2 weeks. We got two easy ones before we got a tough task against Baltimore in our first divisional matchup. So, yeah, they probably are overlooking Washington. I mentioned the desperation of Cincinnati, Ryan. 0-3, we know the numbers relative to making the postseason after starting 0-3. It's not very good. For Cincinnati, when you think about why they're 0-3 to this point, what do you think has been their biggest issue, and how do you think Washington potentially can exploit that?
Yeah, I think right now for me, I mean, I think the easiest explanation for me looking at this offense right now is, hey, the offseason actually does mean something. Yeah. You know, I'm looking at Jamar Chase, and I'm looking at T. Higgins, who most likely they're going to get back this week. And as we know, Washington's secondary is one of the weakest in football, and we knew that coming into the year. And they're going to have a big test, their biggest test, really, at least for me, moving into week three. But when I look at this team, Joe Mixon has been a huge loss for them. You know, the ability for Joe Burrow to hand it off 25 times a game, 30 touches a game if they had to for him, he's been the biggest loss. Because Zach Moss, Chase Brown, good young player out of Illinois, working into year two, but that run game absolutely won't scare anybody. And I think looking at their offensive line, to where it's a veteran front five, still really yet to see Amarius Mims out of Georgia, big kid that's going to play for a long time. But I really do think it's the run game for this team, where so much pressure is put on Joe Burrow. I mean, we've seen it a couple years ago. Chase Young, against this team, where he hurt Joe Burrow outside the pocket. Keeping him upright has been a big question for this team since he came out of LSU. So I do think it's the run game, and I do flat out think it's in the trenches on the defensive side of this thing for Cincinnati. It's the reason why they're 0-2, but they could very easily, Linnell, be 1-1 after a couple bounces last week in Kansas City.
I agree with you 100%. Anybody that watched that nationally televised game, they were the number one game in that 4 o'clock window, you saw the Bengals in their demise may be greatly exaggerated. They were a few plays away, as you mentioned, from knocking off Kansas City. When you think about Washington defensively and all of the struggles that they've had here through the first couple of weeks, it seems like it's a really big get-right spot for Cincinnati. Unless Washington can consistently pressure Joe Burrow, I'm putting Daron Payne and John Allen under the microscope as guys that need to do more. I can give a damn about the double team rate. The best interior players in this league beat double teams. I want to see that from John Allen and Daron Payne. But ultimately, when you look at Washington's pass rush through the first 2 weeks, Ryan, why hasn't this group, in your opinion, been able to get things done and impact the quarterback more?
Yeah, I think it's a shame right now through 2 weeks. It really is. I mean, this team has 2 sacks, and it's come from one guy, and that's Cleveland Farrell. And I know Dorrance Armstrong's had a little pop. Daron Payne leads the team in pressures through 2 weeks. But I'm right there with you. You know, you heard Mark Schlereth talk on the broadcast last week about how Daron Payne and John Allen are looked upon as a fearsome duo in the middle. Not for me. Not for me. Yeah. I don't think we're at that stage anymore. I'm right there with you, Linnell. I don't see that anymore from 93 and 94. I don't think anybody does really in the NFL. You know, so I'm looking at them. Huge week for both of them. You know, there's a reason why this team drafted a Johnny Newton, potentially swap out with a John Allen, swap out with a Daron Payne. We'll see what happens down the line. I'm excited to see Johnny Newton work into his second week of action. But this team has also blitzed the third highest rate of any team in the NFL, and they're still not getting any pressure. Yeah. At the quarterback. That has to change specifically this week to where, sure, you're going to have to pick your spots against a quarterback like this. I don't think it's almost like committing a sin against like a Patrick Mahomes where you blitz him and you just get shredded. I think he's getting after Joe Burrow a little bit. But fundamentally, Joe Witt has put a lot of attention on this front four getting home in isolated opportunities. And you saw that last week where the interior doubled Payne now and then the edges were in isolated opportunities. They got to win in certain situations. You brought in Dorrance. You brought in Dante Fowler. Javonte Jean-Baptiste is in the building here. You basically prioritized him over a KJ Henry type. These guys got to get after the quarterback in isolated scenarios. Not every time, but 30 to 35% of the time, you got to get after somebody. So you're going to blitz that much and you're not able to get after the quarterback. You're going to look up the scoreboard consistently and see what Tampa Bay did to you in week one. And it's going to put a lot of pressure on Jaden Daniels as a rookie in this offense to go in there and score 30-plus points potentially a lot, Linnell, like we saw last year where this team was chasing games and the pressure put on Sam Howell.
Ryan Fowler of Bleacher Report and the Draft Network giving us the goods. You mentioned it. This is via NFL Pro. Commander's second highest blitz percentage in the NFL. Just 2 sacks, though, as Ryan alluded to. And they've got to be better. I didn't realize the blitz numbers were that high. Ryan, so you're educating me as well. That makes me even more upset. For the life of me, I can't understand why this pass rush, not why, because I just don't think they have the horses up front to get after people consistently, but the one thing that I think may help this pass rush is Johnny Newton getting back to full strength. The one thing that Joe Witt and Dan Quinn were supposed to do was spice up the alignment in terms of this front four, having John Allen and Daron line up elsewhere outside of, you know, the inside shade of the guard. Like, I want to see these guys moved up and down the line of scrimmage. I want to see, you know, John Allen and Daron Payne rushing off the edge a ton as well. I was saying this during the week with Chris Russell, Ryan. I think the casual fan out there probably doesn't realize this, but when Johnny Newton comes back, you're able to move those two guys around. Realistically speaking, Daron Payne is a better edge rusher than Dorrance Armstrong and Cleveland Farrell. So if you can get some more help on the interior, it allows you to be more flexible, and hopefully that athleticism of Payne and Allen, you know, steps up a little bit more because it hadn't been good, Ryan.
Yeah, I agree 100%. You know, I look back to at least when they drafted Johnny Newton. I love the pick first off. It was a little bit of a BPA approach, best player available. I liked it. You're adding more pop, more juice at the position, and really wanting more, for me at least, out of John Allen. Because I'm right there with you with Daron. I think in multiple instances last year, year before, even early portions of this year, he really does show up. He deployed these bare fronts where he got three big boys in the middle, two guys standing up on the outside. And I'll say this, and it's, I feel like it's crazy to say because of the aura that has surrounded Jamin Davis as an off-ball backer. I don't think there was a reason for him to be inactive.
Me either. I agree, Ryan.
You know, so the twitch, the athleticism, I get it. He's still an evolving player at the position. But fundamentally, athletically, there may not be another guy in the room that's more athletic and twitched up than what Jamin Davis is. Because he made Tristan Wirfs look silly in week one in a run play. And that's not very easy to do, one of the top tackles in football. So I'm all for being differentiated in your alignments and moving guys around. Because if it's not working, you got to figure something out. And what we saw with Dan Quinn in Dallas with Joe Witt to where – you drafted Micah Parsons. We don't have a Micah Parsons on this defense, not saying that. But moving him around and moving other guys like a Marquise Bell down to the line of scrimmage or playing him a backer, doing different things within that front seven, because I really like what I've seen from Frankie Louvu and Bobby Wagner, they're going to have to do if they ever want to at least reach their floor consistently as a defense. Because allowing, you know, upwards of 25, 27 points a game with a rookie quarterback, again, it's just – it's not going to cut it as games get tighter and more division games come up here down the road.
I agree with you, Ryan. I mean, it has been it's been tough watching that group not be able to get after opposing passers. Last week, the Giants' offensive line, not very good. Obviously, teams are going to try to quick game you to death because they know what you got in the interior, but it's still no excuse. You got to be more consistent in that area. One thing that's bothered me a lot, Ryan, with Washington defensively, and I understand it's early – a lot of teams are struggling with this tackling. The tackling has not been very good. I'm calling for Derek Forrest to be activated this week. The Jeremy Chinn experience has not been favorable for Washington's defense at this point. Bad run fits, missed tackles, the old Ole tackle attempt. Joe Witt Jr. and company talked about arriving violently and making teams feel your team speed and team physicality. Put the numbers to the side for a second, Ryan. How do you feel Washington is doing in that aspect of the game?
Not good at all. And I'm right there with you, Linnell. The Jeremy Chinn experiment, I don't want to say or use the word unplayable for 2 weeks, but what we've seen from Derek Forrest in the past, specifically in that role, as far as playing as that low hole safety and working the fringe areas and blowing through the chin strap of somebody and taking correct pursuit angles and trusting your eyes, I absolutely love him in that role, and he's done well in the past in doing that. Now, I will say this, and that I miss Cam Curl a lot for this team as far as what he did on the back end that was underappreciated over the years in Washington as a late day three pick out of Arkansas that was one of the best picks really in the last 5 to 7 years for the Commanders. However, Jeremy Chinn does played 100% of the snaps against the Giants. That simply – no matter the monetary investment involved there, even though it is minimal, considering it can't happen again. I do want to see Derek Forrest activated, absolutely. And they also, on the back end, have got to stop living in cover one with Quan Martin as a single high safety. He is not Derwin James. He is not Kyle Hamilton. And they do not have the corners on the outside to live in man coverage. They sure as heck don't have them to live against Jamar Chase and T. Higgins in man coverage. So that's another thing I want to see changed up. But tackling fundamentally – tackling is an effort thing at the end of the day. You got to have an effort to get downhill and blow through somebody's chin strap. And there may be a couple guys. And really, if I look at two right now, it's Louvu and it's Wagner. And it has to absolutely improve here as we work into week three.
I agree with you. I think Quan Martin, they're in a tough situation from a personnel standpoint, right, Ryan? This is year one of a rebuild. You can't fix everything in one offseason. But I agree with you. I think Quan Martin has made some really, really good plays coming from that deep post spot to screaming up and chopping your feet and breaking down and making a stop. He's their best tackling safety. I think he's their best coverage safety as well. I think him and Percy Butler are probably the only two guys that I trust to be that single high safety and play a deep half. From a personnel standpoint, I don't know, is the answer Tyler Owens off of the bench? Is the answer moving Percy to that deep half safety and letting Quan play in the box more? What would you do personnel-wise if you were Joe Witt and company?
Yeah, I think on the back end, you know, you absolutely look at these body types on the perimeter. I look at St. Juice. I look at Michael Davis. You know, it was obviously rough for him in week two, a lot of crossing routes against Malik Nabers. That's going to be tough for anybody. But even looking at the body type of Emmanuel Forbes, you know, these are cover three corners around that 6'1 to 6'2 yep. frame with long arms that want to work downhill and 7 yards off the line of scrimmage. They're not really built like man corners. They don't have the foot fire and hips to live in man coverage. So on the back end, I would try as much as I can. I'm right there with you with putting Kwon and Percy Butler as that center field defender back there in too high. I know Mel Kiper's not going to like that, you know, but I think putting Kwon back there and Percy, I like that idea. And Tyler Owens, for me, you know, he was someone that stood out a ton in this pre-draft process. That's really that Herculean type of athlete, and I wanted to see him marriage his ability as a fundamental football player. And I can't help but notice him in the preseason and notice what he's done on special teams, which really can pave the way for snaps. So I'm not saying that 45, 50% of the snaps are Tyler Owens this week or moving forward, but I think he does deserve 5-10 snaps a game to see what he can do potentially in that Jeremy Chinn type of role working inside the box, because his size, his length, his instincts, the way he can run absolutely deserves an opportunity.
I agree with you. They made the interesting decision. I think it was six safeties they ended up keeping, six or seven on that final 53. So maybe they in turn realize that they may have to churn some different bodies through there as the season rolls on. The Jeremy Chinn thing is disappointing because at 6'3", 220, I mean, he's supposed to embody what it is to be a commander in terms of arriving violently and all that. But as I say, Ryan, sometimes you either got that dog mentality to come up and break someone's face mask or you don't. And through 2 weeks, it looks like he doesn't. On the offensive side of the football, getting back to Jayden Daniels, we've seen him, Ryan, through 2 weeks, I think, get progressively better in the second half as a passer. What more can Cliff Kingsbury do to get Jayden Daniels to start faster? I'm going to tell you straight up, Ryan, it's a trick question. I think Cliff has done everything he could do possibly to get Jayden off to a good start. The quick game, the screen stuff. Why is his vision early in games struggling right now, Ryan?
Yeah, I agree with you, Linnell. I am absolutely fine with how Cliff Kingsbury has approached this thing. You know, you look across the league and Caleb Williams in Chicago and Bo Nix in Denver. Mm-hmm. We saw a little bit of, I'm not going to go into the Drake May stuff last night with that offensive line. Oof. But it's not easy as a young quarterback to come into this league and even do what Jayden has done. You know, he's taken care of the football both as a runner and through the air. They're living in this horizontal raid right now in the offense. And if it's working, then continue to do it. Yeah. So where the rhythm and timing throws are going to be huge again this week, because at the end of the day, it's not just Cam Taylor-Britt, as we mentioned earlier. They moved Dax Hill from safety to full-time outside corner. Mike Hilton's one of the most experienced nickel guys in the league. They got a bunch of guys on the outside. It's not going to be easy away from Terry for these guys to gain separation. And it's going to be hard. You sit and look at Jayden Daniels and say, just force the throw to force the throw. He's fundamentally not going to do that. Right. So I think if there's a shot, I think if there is separation, I fully trust in Jayden to make throws, layer throws over the linebacker in front of the safety like he did on that Noah Brown play late in that ball game. They're going to slowly open it up, because he was 5-for-5 on his vertical routes that he targeted against the Giants in the second half of last week's game, which shows me when you open it up a little bit, the kid can rip it. And if anybody didn't see that in LSU last year, then you can go back and watch the tape a little bit, because he can absolutely deliver the football over the football field. So right now I have zero concerns with Cliff Kingsbury. I have zero concerns with Jayden Daniels, what he's doing both on the ground and through the air. I know everyone wants to get Terry McLaurin involved. I believe they will. And as this playbook continues to evolve, as teams continue to watch film and see what Washington wants to do on certain situations and certain downs, then they're going to be able to take advantage of some matchups as Jayden's feet continue to get wet and the game starts to slow down for him even more, which should be scary from a defensive coordinator's perspective.
What constitutes a good outing on Monday night, Ryan? Is it a win, or is it just maintaining, being competitive in that environment?
Yeah, I'm not expecting a win for this team on Monday night, considering what Cincinnati could be. You know, they are continuously one of the top five, six rosters in the AFC really the last 3-4 years. But I do expect Washington to compete. Now, if they go out there and lose by 30, we got a lot of questions. Yeah. I think everybody would be asking questions. But
for sure.
I think you keep it within a score. I think you enter the fourth quarter with a chance. I think it's in a good spot. But again, expecting this team, you know, potentially be 1-2 heading into next week against another good ball club. We're going to see Kyler Murray and company. But overall, you know, just stay competitive in this football game, run the ball, do what you do well, and allow Jaden at the end of the day, Linnell, don't what we've seen Emmanuel Forbes in years past, yet last year really, don't try to put a square peg in a round hole. Let Jaden Daniels be what he wants to be an athlete and make plays under center, and this offense specifically will be fine.
Ryan, I could do this for hours, man. Always good talking ball with you. One of the absolute best of pal, Ryan Fowler from the Draft Network and Bleacher Report. Ryan, appreciate you as always, my friend.
Appreciate you, Linnell. We'll talk soon, man.
It's Ryan Fowler, one of the absolute best talking all things burgundy and gold. Make sure you give him a follow on the X app at _RyanFowler_. We'll take a quick timeout. When we come back, the most highly anticipated power ranking segment in all of sports talk radio, it is time. Linnell's Super Six Pack.
In life, some days are good, and some could be better. The same is true for recovery. Both take work, both take adjustments. Finding your path is a key part of your journey, and then it's all about walking it every day. Embrace the good days, the not so good days, and the challenges, and acknowledge how you overcame them. Be open to every part of the journey and welcome it. It's unique, and it's all part of you. Find the path to recovery that works for you. Learn more at cdc.gov/stopoverdose.
Nerds. Today's episode is sponsored by NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast. Get your head in the financial game with smart investing and budgeting tips straight from the nerds. NerdWallet's experts will set future you up for success with dependable, fact-based insights. No financial misinformation allowed. Learn how to save on your summer vacation, find your next credit card or loan for a big purchase, and invest in your next index fund. Make smarter decisions in 2024. Follow NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast on your favorite podcast app.
Trying to figure out what to eat for dinner yet again? With Knorr sides and bouillon as your not-so-secret ingredient, you can skip the drive-thru and do dinner at home. Knorr taste combos provide a menu of delicious, affordable, and well-balanced meals that you can prepare in 30 minutes or less. Visit Knorr.com to get quick and easy recipe ideas for your home-cooked weeknight dinners. It's not fast food, but it's so good.
All right, parents, it's back to school time, and I've got a secret for you. There's a drama-free way to make vitamins part of your kids' morning routine. Little Critters Gummy Vitamins. You see, my kids think they're just eating fun, delicious gummy bears, but little do they know, they're getting essential nutrients for their health and development.
Mom, we know they're vitamins.
As I was saying, kids absolutely love, and apparently know, these are vitamins. Little Critters is the pediatrician-recommended kids' multivitamin gummy brand, and the yummy way to start the school year.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly!
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly! Auto Parts.